All right, the kids are dismissed to go upstairs. Well, over the past few weeks, we have been talking about God being a God of small things. We talked about how God is a God of small numbers, and how he took Gideon's army of 300 and defeated a massive Midianite army with them. And just like our small congregation, God is able to do things with small numbers. And then we talked about small resources and how Jesus took five loaves of bread and two fish, and fed 5,000 people. And so we talked about how Jesus used God's power and how God can do amazing things with a little amount of resources. This morning we're going to talk about a small man. Now, if there's anything we know about Zacchaeus, and if you want to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19, that's where we'll be this morning, Luke chapter 19. If there's anything at all we know about Zacchaeus, it is what? He was a wee little man. That's what the kids were up here singing just a minute ago. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Ben did an excellent job of reading Luke 19 for us. I'm not going to go through the whole passage verse by verse. We'll pull out a couple verses here and there that we want to look at, but you can follow along in your Bibles as we move through Scripture and we talk about some of these things. And in verses 2 and 3, we find four. Oh yeah. Almost like I'm going through puberty there. Well, I'm a little young for that. We find four pretty straightforward facts about Zacchaeus in verses 2 and 3. First of all, we find that he was a chief tax collector. We find that he was rich. We find that he was not able to see Jesus when he wanted to. And we find out why. He was short. Now, under the Roman system of government, the job of being tax collector was farmed out. The Romans would farm those jobs out to whoever wanted to pay the highest amount for them. And so oftentimes in Israel, in the Jewish area, Jews took the job. Tax collectors paid a fixed amount of taxes to Rome. They paid a fixed amount, and they often forced people to pay above and beyond that, which meant when they forced people to pay above and beyond that, they kept a little bit back for themselves. They kept the difference, which meant that they were stealing from their own people. And the Jews opposed these taxes because they not only went to support Rome and Rome's control of Israel, but it also went to support their pagan gods. Their secular government and their pagan gods. And so the Jews were against this. Nevertheless, they were required to pay the taxes. And they viewed tax collectors as sinners. The scum of the earth. Some of the worst people on the planet. Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector in Jericho, was rich. And two things to note here. First of all, the term chief tax collector means that Zacchaeus was in charge of other tax collectors. He was in charge of collecting taxes from tax collectors, which meant that he got a double bonus. He would get what they raked in, and then he would get what he raked in, and so he was getting a double bonus. He was really pulling the money in. So he had a special kind of authority, but yet he was despised by the community. The second thing is that Zacchaeus was rich. Zacchaeus was rich. Just one chapter earlier, in Luke 18, a rich man comes up to Jesus and asks Jesus, "Jesus, what must I do to earn eternal life, to get eternal life? What do I have to do?" And Jesus tells him that the one thing that he lacked was to go out and give away all of his money. And in Luke 18, it says that the man went away sad. And then Jesus goes on in verses 24 and 25 of Luke chapter 18, and he says this, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." I think this tells us two very important things about Zacchaeus. I think it tells us that, I think these two things show us that Zacchaeus was dead. He was dead emotionally, he was dead spiritually, he was dead socially. He bought a position that would guarantee him riches. But it guaranteed him other things as well. It guaranteed him a certain sense of power and authority. But he would have no respect. He would have no favor from the members of his community. He would be despised, hated by his fellow Jews. It probably left him with few true friends. No friendships because of this position. I think it left him with a lack of self-respect and a lack of self-worth. He had an important position to the Romans, but in everybody else's eyes, he was not an important person. He was not only small in stature, but I believe from what we see and what we know about tax collectors and what he was doing, that he felt small inside as well. I believe Zacchaeus tried hard to buy a sense of happiness. I believe he tried to buy a sense of happiness. It's like when shopaholics go out and they buy more and more stuff to try and fill an emptiness that's inside of them. They're trying to buy happiness to fill that emptiness, and they just can't do it, so they buy more and more. It's like a porn addict looking at pictures that he shouldn't be looking at, trying to fill that hole inside of him, going back to it again and again, trying to fill that emptiness. It's like food addicts who deal with their pain and their issues by eating too much of unhealthy foods. It's like you and I, every time we feel small, every time we feel worthless, every time we feel unloved, every time we feel unworthy, every time we feel unwanted, every time we try to deal with those issues with things instead of dealing with them by turning to Christ. Now, I'm not talking about a true mental illness where things are not firing right in the brain and there's an imbalance there that requires medical attention. I'm not talking about that where medication is required. If that is necessary to help somebody dealing with some of these things, then I say go for it. Get that medication to help you deal with it. What I'm talking about is somebody who, like Zacchaeus, who felt he was dealt a bad hand and tried to make it better by making bad decision after bad decision. Zacchaeus tried to create an identity for himself, one that would make him happy, and it didn't work. I believe Zacchaeus was living a miserable life. He was living a miserable life and was truly searching for something more, searching for something else. Now, Jericho, where our scene takes place, where our story takes place this morning, Jericho was a prosperous trade city, one of the oldest known cities in the world. Jericho was prosperous, it was rich, there was a considerable amount of traffic that passed through Jericho. And on the day that Zacchaeus was there, and on the day that Jesus walks through, there were probably tons of people. The streets were probably crowded. Just before Jesus entered the city, if we go back to Luke 18, just before Jesus entered the city, he healed a blind man. He made a blind man see. And so people caught wind of this. There were witnesses. People had heard what he had done, the miracle worker, the prophet, Jesus. His name had probably been spoken many times before in the area. And this is the first opportunity that many would have to see him. And so they wanted to do that. They wanted to get as close as possible. They wanted to touch him. And like anyone else, Zacchaeus was there, and he wanted a closer look at Jesus. But there was a problem. Zacchaeus had a bit of a problem. He wanted a closer look at Jesus, but there were crowds and he couldn't see over them. Remember, as we said, he was a wee little man. He was a short man. He was too small in character, and he was too small in stature. And do you think anybody is going to part ways and make room for somebody like Zacchaeus to walk through and get a closer look at Jesus? No, not at all. They despised the man. They didn't want to give him any extra favors. So Zacchaeus gets an idea. He gets this brilliant idea. He runs ahead. He anticipates where Jesus is going to walk. He runs ahead and he climbs up a sycamore tree and he waits there. He eagerly awaits a chance to see Jesus. It was a great strategy. It was a great plan. Sycamore trees, they tend to grow up with branches low to the ground, and they grow out horizontally. They're pretty good and easy trees to climb. And so Zacchaeus has a prime position to see Jesus, a perfect view. He could see Jesus, and Jesus could see him. And then in verse 5, we read this. Zacchaeus, come down. Wait. Jesus saw Zacchaeus. He saw him, and he called out Zacchaeus' name. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Jesus looked straight at Zacchaeus and spoke to him. I bet Zacchaeus hadn't imagined this. You know, we go to maybe a concert or something like that. And every once in a while, it might seem like, you know, the person singing looks right at us, and it kind of gives us a special feeling. This is way off course here, but I remember many years ago going to see a John Mellencamp concert. And, you know, the guy sang Little Pink Houses for You and Me, a lot of Americana-type music. And so Donna and I were in the front row, and I just happened to be in the front row, but there were all women all around. And so John Mellencamp, he's not a very tall guy. He's, you know, he's a Zacchaeus kind of guy. He's about yay tall. And he kept coming right down to where I was standing and would look. And I swear he was looking at me and laughing because I was surrounded by all these women reaching their hands out to touch him. And I know he was looking right at me. And every time he did, he cracked this little grin. And he not only did that, but he would like thrust himself right there. And anyway. But still, when somebody special, somebody important looks right at us, there's a special feeling there. When we catch their attention, there's a special feeling there. And that's what Zacchaeus did. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. I don't think Jesus spoke harshly to Zacchaeus. I think his tone was gentle and loving. I believe Zacchaeus heard his name said in a way that he probably had not heard it said since he was a child on his mother's knee. He heard his name said with compassion and love. He was a hated person. When people spoke his name, it's likely they spit. They despised the man. But Jesus looked at him and he spoke with compassion. And not only did Jesus tell Zacchaeus to come down, but he said, I am going to your house today. I'm going to your house today. Jesus invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house. Nowhere else in gospel does Jesus invite himself over to somebody else's house. He always sits back and waits to be invited. But not here. Not here. He tells Zacchaeus, I'm coming over to your house today. And in verse 6, we find that Zacchaeus comes down with gladness. He is thrilled to know that this Jesus is coming to his house. He was thrilled that someone so important saw him and recognized him and gave him value above that of what his position was and what his job was. Now, we don't know exactly what was said, between Jesus and Zacchaeus in Zacchaeus' house. We don't know what was said. We don't know what took place there. The scripture doesn't tell us. But what we do know is that that encounter with Jesus changed Zacchaeus' life. It changed his life. No longer was Zacchaeus' identity tied to his stature, to his position, to his wealth. And neither was his self-worth. Neither was his self-worth. His new identity, his new worth, his true value and importance came because he was now tied directly to Jesus. He was now tied directly to Jesus. And in verse 8, we read this. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Zacchaeus was a changed man. His encounter with Jesus gave him a real identity. And it gave his life real meaning, real purpose. What does Jesus say a couple verses down? He says the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Jesus came to seek and the lost, to give people an identity, to give people real meaning, to give people real hope. Jesus still seeks and saves the lost. He still seeks for and saves the lost. And he does that through us, through his body, through the church. Personally, and as a church, we have work to do. We have work to do. To be successful, we have to clear the path. We have to make a way so that people can see Jesus clearly. We need to remember Jesus' attitude toward sinners was not condemnation. It wasn't condemnation. It was compassion. We need to remember that no one is so bad that they can't be saved, that they cannot be touched by the grace of God, that they are beyond that power. And we need to create opportunities for the hurting, for the lonely, for the disenfranchised, for sinners to enter our church. Then we need to greet them with compassion. We need to create opportunities and reasons for them to enter our church. We need to clear a path for people to encounter Jesus while they are here. And that means a few important things. That means that when we, as believers, come through the doors, we need to check our egos. We need to check our egos at the door. We need to check our negativity at the door. We need to be supportive of church leadership and church members. I mean, speaking positively about your church and avoiding criticism and strife. That doesn't mean there isn't room for discussion about things and opportunities and needs for change and growth. Just means we need to be positive. It means realizing that our church's identity doesn't come from what we look like. It doesn't come from our building. Our identity doesn't come from our resources. Our identity doesn't come from who's standing up here in the pulpit. Our identity comes by being both the bride of Jesus and the body of Jesus. That is our identity. And that means we are relying on you. We are relying on you to do your part to continue to develop your relationship with God. We're relying on you to maintain that relationship, to be growing in your faith, to taking the steps necessary to make that relationship stronger, to be a growing individual who is part of a growing church. People, God is putting this church on a new path. I don't know if you've started to feel that yet, but God is putting this church on a new path. He has amazing things in store for our future. And we're just getting started. So buckle up. Buckle up. It is going to be an incredible ride. God has some amazing things in store for us. All right, we're going to close with a song here.